Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon. Today, it's May 30th, and here we are again on West Side Visions on Blog Talk Radio. And yes, it's been one heck of a day, not to mention the council meeting today, but also the indicting of a former president. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock, and it has been a busy day in the world of both local and national politics.
Yes, it has. you know, to be honest, I'm thrown for a loop on both accords. And, you know, Tuesday night, our show, we discussed the renaming of Kings Canyon, Ventura, and California Avenue to Cesar Chavez Boulevard, which, as I said then and will say now, is it a historical fix or a political hit job by the Hispanic members of the city council here in Fresno?
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, we just going to get right back into it. But also let me say, yes, today, the former guy, President 45, was indicted by Alvin Bragg of New York.
Yes.
And let's be honest, that's a long time coming.
Yes, it is. And let's just hope that people remember that this was an educated black man who brought these indictments and is not placing 45 above the law. He is following the law that is supposed to apply equally to everybody.
Exactly. And I am so happy that you put that out there like that, Sister Reed, because as of now, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has already said he's not going to work with the District Attorney of New York. He's not going to respect a letter of 45 being sent back to New York. He's not going to get involved. Okay, well, we already know where that's coming from. That's that typical Republican, even though I may fight with you. Okay, I'll have your back on this because you're fighting against a black man, and I'm not going to turn you over to a black man. Let's just be honest about what's happening with the governor in Florida right now.
Right, and one political hand washes the other. And so this is the type of political backdoor shenanigans that we continue to expect from the GOP. But make no mistake about it, listeners, you know, you're going to have to pick a side and decide where you stand on the topics that we're talking about tonight, because this is going to get real serious real quick. When you factor book banning and, you know, lies, the erasure of black history and legacy in this country, it's going to be a problem. And somebody's going to have to draw a line in the sand about it. That's a good way to start the show, Brother Bullock. It really is.
You are absolutely correct, my sister. So to recap, the Fresno City Council decided to vote 6-1 in approving changing the names of Kings Canyon, Ventura, and California Avenues to Cesar Chavez Boulevard, honoring the once famous leader of farming rights. And like I said Tuesday, this isn't about Cesar Chavez. This is about the process of what was done and how it was done.
Exactly.
Because
I was just going to agree with you and say that they are talking about righting a 29-30-year wrong. I want to know who is going to stand up for the rights of black men and women who were redlined into West Fresno and now are about to have their legacy, their history erased. So, and that redlining goes way past 30 years. My parents came to Fresno in 1948. So we're talking about many decades of redlining that has gone on in West Fresno, all for it to be erased and forgotten. I don't think so.
You're absolutely correct. And I see that we have a caller already. So let's find out who this may be.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Hello.
This is Blog Talk Radio on West Side Visions. Who are we speaking with?
Ernest Lockhart.
All right,
Brother Lockhart, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you all doing?
We are fine, sir, and I'm very glad and proud that you gave us a call tonight. You know, we're not going to hold you up, Brother Lockhart. Go ahead and spit your piece.
Well, I'm not even sure what the topic is. I was calling to make sure I had your number, and I'm just trying to get enlightened on some of the good stuff that you good people are putting out here, and rehone my way of thinking and sharpen my ideas, and so I can help bless my people.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Go ahead and hang on the line with us and hang in, and when you feel like it, just speak out. But again, what we're talking about, Tuesday night we did a show on the renaming of Kings Canyon, Ventura, and California Avenue to Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and how we felt like the city council pretty much just kind of overlooked those in West Fresno, and to be honest, those along Ventura and Kings Canyon, which leads into the national park, and didn't do due diligence and talk to anyone about what they were doing, just kind of, all right, well, we have X amount of Hispanic board members, so we're just going to run roughshod over everybody and do what we want to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yeah, on that thought, it doesn't surprise me in the least. We need for more brothers and sisters to come together collectively, but that right there is like just beating a bush, expecting a human life out of a bush, because until we reframe and rehone our way of thinking to where we actually think collectively, we can't function collectively. And without us functioning collectively and effectively, we're not going to get any respect from anyone. They may tolerate us, but who can ride and rock with somebody who won't ride and rock with their own?
Wow. Now, you just said a mouthful.
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. You have spoken a mouthful. And that has seemed to be the issue in West Fresno. You can get several of us together, but for some reason, you just seem to cannot get the masses together. And I've watched good people attempt to do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. If we can't come together and work together, why are the other people going to work with us? But again, right, even though they don't work with us, why should they try to just walk over us? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But you know what, Brother Tony? I don't necessarily identify it as walking over us. I believe that those are notes that we should be taking towards our own progress. Because if you don't have a solid wall standing there, no one has to walk over you. If you're only covering one block of your neighborhood, they'll just walk around you.
That's true.
So until we cross every T and dot every I, we need to be following example and hanging on to the chosen few. And pray that each one can bring one with a like-minded view.
Exactly.
You know,
which is, go ahead, Sister Reed.
No, I was just going to say, isn't it how unfortunate it is that it takes something big like this for us to even be talking about unity? I know that the folks at Free AME over at 806 Collins, they had made a commitment to follow the principles of Kwanzaa. You know, and following those principles means you're ready. You don't have to get ready because you're already ready. So when something like this happens, just mobilize your forces, and you're able to fight against this. But I don't know what it's going to take for Black people in Fresno to realize that either we're going to hang together or we're going to hang separately. You know, we need to be thinking collectively instead of acting individually. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, yeah, you're correct about that. Well, let's take it back. Okay? Now, Sister Reed, you know you and I, old school residents of West Fresno, we went to Carver, we went to Irwin, we went to Edison.
Hey,
to this
don't
day,
forget about me.
Say again, Brother Lockhart.
I said, don't forget about me.
Oh, no, not at all. See, I went to school with you, Palatil.
See?
I went to school
no,
with
we,
Palatil.
No, you was in that
we,
big
we know who you are. We know who you are. But, you know, I remember this, to when we were at Edison, and we used to go to those city council members. And Keith Chung had the audacity to say, we were nothing more than birds in a gilded cage. And that has always stuck in my mind and irritated the hell out of me. Because, you know, like I know, what we were dealing with over there at Edison, basically we were the only Black high school. It was always us against them. And when I say them, that includes the school district, and the city and the city council. Because those were the battles we were fighting.
Systematic racism. You know?
Yes.
And people wouldn't think of Keith Chung as being that, but this is somebody, you know, who had that white, Caucasian, imperialist, capitalistic, racist mindset that thought he was somehow better than us. You know, and it's these are the things that we need to be talking about. How is it that our Latino brothers and sisters now think that because numerically they can do this, that they should do it, that they should act like the white power structure?
Exactly.
It's wrong on so many levels. It just is. So
let's go ahead, Brother Lockhart.
No, I just, you know, while we're talking about this, I wanted to just give a shout out to the Black folks that, you know, that we saw. Well, I was watching on TV the public access channel of the council meeting, and I want to give a shout out to the Black people who stood up and spoke out opposing this name change. And Michael Lynn Lewis, Sister Sharon Williams, Brother Keith Gooch. And I didn't catch the name of the sister that you were talking about earlier, Brother Tony. I think you said her name was Mary. Was she? But anyway,
we had Sharon Williams. There's a sister by the name of Mary. Then we had Hester Hensley. And again, like, you know, I was going to bring that up also. And, you know, like Sister Sharon Williams said, historical is in stone. And in all honesty, we do feel as African-Americans that we're being erased off the map here in Fresno. Now, like she said, they took a portion of Fig Avenue and named it for Dr. King right there in front of King School, runs up to California, you know, a 2-mile stretch, you know, from California to north. But for Cesar Chavez, you want 12 miles.
Mm-hmm.
You want Kings Canyon, Ventura, and California Avenue, who is running through the heart of historic West Fresno.
See? Exactly. And it does not make sense. You know, even she why not choose another street?
You know, and just like Sister Hester Hensley said, you know, it is absolutely ridiculous to be arguing about the change of street names that have, we got streets, Kings Canyon, Ventura, California, already established historically. Mm-hmm. And she also made mention of the fact you got, what, Cesar Chavez, you got a school named after Cesar.
Right.
The military has a vessel named after Cesar.
Locally, there's a Cesar Chavez Foundation.
There's a couple of buildings in town with his name on it.
Right.
Yes, yes.
And who was it that was asking, was it you, Brother Tony, that was asking why did it take 29, 30 years to fix this? See, here comes the political fix. Why
exactly
did it take 30 years for this
now
to connect?
I'm going to just say it. You know, Miguel Arias and Luis Chavez called themselves upset behind a slight in 1993. As Chavez said, he rode his bike from Roosevelt High to the convention center so he could see the vote himself, and he just couldn't understand why it went the way it went, he says, but I'm quite sure Prop 187 had a lot to do with it. So you're upset and mad about what happened in 93, although we've been putting up with stuff since we got here.
Exactly. And you know, the interesting part, Brother Tom, is that a lot of us stood with Latinos about Prop 187 and about Prop 209.
We did.
I mean, I know this because I held a forum at Edison, myself and several other Black people, to talk about this. We had a whole panel discussion talking about these things.
Exactly.
And so we stood with our Latino brothers and sisters. So why can't they stand with us about this?
It's funny. We stood with them with no problem. And what are they doing? Stabbing us in the back. Sister Reed, take care of this for a minute.
All right. So, callers, if you want to call in like Brother Ernest, please do so. You can call, contact us and call in at number 563-999-3043. Once again, the call in number So I'm not, you're not saying that Cesar Chavez should not be on it. That is not what we're saying. Yeah. But we are saying that do it and be mindful of the other people, the other communities that are involved. This is not just about the Latino Hispanic community. This is about all of us caring about Cesar Chavez, but by the same token, we do not want to erase the history and the legacy of Southwest Press, and that is what, you know, this name change is going to do. You know, we're already experiencing gentrification in West Fresno, and we need to put a halt to some of this. So,
as you said before,
this is not about trying to disrespect Brother Cesar Chavez. I have a great deal of respect for him. I remember exactly where I was when he passed on April 23rd, 1993. But we cannot abuse and misuse our Black community in order to remember him. That's just wrong on too many levels.
Yes, it is. You know, that was Sister Crystal Joyce calling me, and then she realized that, hey, wait a minute, you're in the middle of your show. I'm sorry. But she also said, hey, you guys, I appreciate the fact that you hold it down. You stand out there in the void, and we do. I'm so happy that Brother Lockhart called tonight, because that lets me know that somebody, hey, I know there's some other resources out there that I can check out. Let me see what's going on.
Right.
I've kind of taken a back seat to a lot of things this past couple of years, but I just happened to see a post from Sister Eileen, and that sister right there is one that I'm not a gambling man, but if I was, I'd bet on her $10,000 every time.
Bless your heart.
Pastor Harris, Pastor Paul McCoy. When I was introduced to Reverend Harris, I found a moving force that I can believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, there's not the collective numbers aren't what I believe they should be. And what I've begun to understand is that I have to readily embrace the Willie Lynch letter.
Mm.
I've been ridiculed for calling him a prophet, but for me, it's prophecy in the making. If implemented correctly, we can rule them forever. I love my brother Jackie Robinson, but the rise of Jackie Robinson was the fall of the Negro League. $10 in any gas tank, if we had a real league, something to really address who we are, if we were really embracing who we are, most of us, if not all of us, would be able to see the greatest do whatever, as opposed to the most of us never being able to make it to a professional game, but most of us aspiring to be there and pimping our children to be high-paid slaves on the new plantation.
Mm. Wow.
Bill for self.
Gee.
Right. And you know what? It's funny you say that, and I agree with that 100%. And, you know, just like you, I come back to this city in 2018 at the tragic event in my life. And Sister Eileen Reed, who has been my friend since our Carver days, introduced me to Pastor Harris. And she said, look, she said, I'm going to introduce you to someone. And she said, and the reason I'm doing this is because I kind of think you guys are on the same level about some certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, lo and behold, she was absolutely correct. Because with Pastor Harris, I found a driving force, someone that I could talk to on like subjects and support on like subjects out there in that community. But also, like you, I've noticed that, you know, a lot of people always say this. They talk loud and say nothing. And instead of standing with us, they were bark, bark, barking. But when it came time to stand out there, you rarely saw them.
You rarely saw them. That's it.
You kept seeing the same faces.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, Ernest, you know, it's hard to find that strong nucleus. But I'm going to tell you honestly, there are some here. You may not see them all the time, and a lot of them be in the background. And but there are some out there that when it's time to go out there and fight, they there.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
You know,
and I hope the people who are listening that they understand that, because you know what, guys, it might just come to that. You know, they talk about science fiction terms, but the truth of the matter is that we need to be ready for the revolution. And we got cell phones now, so it can all be televised. But the thing is that you better be ready to hang with your people and understand why you hanging with your people.
I say that all the time. You know, if you get ready, you ain't got to stay ready.
That's right.
And, you know, we were talking, I bring this sister back up, Sister Hester Hensley, because, you know, Sister Hensley, she hit some of the things that I talked about Tuesday night. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, she was real, real upfront and honest when she said that her family came here in the 40s and they worked the fields picking cottons and grapes into the late 60s. And I know that to be true because me growing up here, it happened. Folks still went down to Chinatown to board them buses, to go to them fields, and all the folks on them buses were not Mexican. There were plenty of black folks on them buses going to them fields.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember going to the grape fields as early as I can remember, up until I was early teens. And there was a whole lot of us out there, I believe that was the making for a stronger people. I think that what we've done, we've lost our identity to ideology.
Exactly.
We lack a true identity, for sure, just being here. But we've adopted ideology, and their ideas are not necessarily governed by facts. It's governed by a collective entity that seeks to destroy and overthrow any and everything that's not conducive with their material gain. And
exactly.
we've adopted that ideology. We tell our children to be better than us. No one's better than the seed that produced the tree. Everything that comes from that tree should be taught to pay homage to that original seed. Until we find our way back there again, we're going to continue to follow a purse that's manufactured by man, supports wicked and evilness, and it becomes the terminology that we live by, and many die by it.
And many do die by it. And, you know, you reminded me of something that my big cousin used to say all the time: you can never outshine the star that brought you here. Never.
No,
and this is something we need to remember. But you know, the onslaught that continues against the black community is overwhelming. I mean, you've got liquor stores that flood our communities, drugs. You know, people talk about the negativity of gangs. To me, I consider them foot soldiers in this fight, because the fight is coming. and we have to be ready for it. But you're right, Brother Ernest. We have gotten so far away from the teaching of our elder. And I remember Brother Tody talking about this, saying that, you know, we have gotten away from the whole village concept where, you know, people don't want you saying nothing to their kids. You know, in our day, you know, the whole neighborhood's looking out. If you misbehaving and somebody, an elder sees you, they have the right to say something to you, and without it being called abuse or anything like that. So, but we've gotten away from that. We've gotten away from what community means and what extended family means, and we need to get back to that because we're going to need each other very, very shortly.
And you are absolutely correct about that, Ms. Reed. That is true. One of the biggest mistakes we made as a people was getting away from the village, raising the children of the village. When we had that generation that started with that, I don't want you saying nothing to my kids. You better not put your hands on my kids. I don't care what they're doing. Those kids eventually grew up to not respect anything going on in the neighborhood. Why? Because it had been put into their mind that they were above the laws of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what I do, I can do it because my mama say so. My daddy say so.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Yes.
So now
yes.
something go down in the neighborhood, they not paying attention to it because their mindset is, well, that's happening over there at their doorstep. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And this is how people slide in and do dirt. This is how we have politicians and pastors and different folks right now on the west side who have sold out their souls to them folks downtown because they getting a few dollars here and there. Well, they over here making improvements at my church, you know. So, you know, I'm not going to mess up what I got going on. But you can't walk down the block. You can't walk down the block and talk to somebody in need in your own community.
See, come on.
Absolutely. And most of them don't realize that the sophistication of the orchestration that is designed to control. The media is used to keep your mind boggled. And 90% of the things that's going to demand something for self, the media has a way of discarding it, disregarding it. Our people will sit back and we will say out of our own mouths, oh, that's ancient history. And we're so blind that we can't even realize that the only way to get a good mark in their school is to study their ancient history and make good marks knowing about them and their lives.
Come on.
Exactly. Exactly. Everything old is new again. And it's funny what you said about the media there, Brother Lockhart, because once upon a time, way back when in another life, I worked for a station called KBHK, Channel 44. And Eileen, you know what I'm talking about. This was in the Bay Area.
Yep, it certainly was. It certainly was.
Voiceovers.
Okay.
I used to do KBHK, Channel 44. I used to do voiceovers for them in certain aspects. And I'll never forget the day when I was told I needed to work on being more black. Now, never mind, this was a Jewish white man telling me I needed to be more black. And I'm looking in the reflection of myself like, wait a minute, I need to be what?
I had to chuckle because, you know, philosophically and ideologically, you are one of the blackest brothers I know. So that's why I'm laughing. I'm, you know, no disrespect. It's just, but
no,
that's,
no,
but that's
I
how
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
And I was like,
you to be more black.
But here's the killer part. I asked him, I say, so what is it that's not black about me? And he said, and I quote, you know, when you do your voiceovers, it's just so perfect. But there are times I need you to be a little more ethnic.
Mm.
And I was like,
Lord.
I was like, what?
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. But that is their mindset. They want to be able to manipulate us in a way that benefits them.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
That is their mindset. And that's like, for example, that's like what's going on right now here in Fresno. Okay?
Mm.
Like Miguel Arias was bold enough to say, we spent $150 million on projects in Southwest Fresno. No, you spent $150 million on projects to gentrify West Fresno.
Exactly.
That's what you spent $150 million on. You want to come in and change the entire aspect of our current communities.
Yep. Wipe out the history and the legacy now and turn it into something else. And that,
yeah.
And that to me is, I'm almost speechless. I'm gobsmacked by the fact that they brought the city poured a lot of money in the past into Southeast Fresno. They brought shopping malls and all that stuff along Chestnut and Kings Canyon and all that. All that was developed.
Yes, sir.
They were able to maintain the Latino flavor of those neighborhoods. But when it comes to
you noticed that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. When it comes to us in West Fresno, well, then we got a problem. You know, we need to wipe out California Avenue and everything that it stands for and put something else there. And like you said, Brother Tony, this is all about the gentrification. We were talking about this Tuesday. So what's going to happen to West Fresno landmarks like Hidden Center? What is going to happen to Edison? I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be trying to change the name of Edison and make that into something else. And Lord knows, I got a big problem with that because I'm a tiger for life.
I'm quite sure that will become Cesar Chavez High, but I'm like you. I wear black and gold. I'm a tiger for life. Think back, Sister Reed. Remember when they tried to turn us into the Frederick Douglass Dolphins? Remember that fiasco?
Yes, I do.
And
yes,
they,
I do.
The school board got screaming mad that we didn't go for that process. Well, Frederick Douglass is a black man. Thomas Edison is white. And your point is.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You know,
the problem they had was, the problem they had was the history that Edison was putting up and had put up, not only academically, but on the sports fields, the records that were being set and being broken. They had issue with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they did, and they tried to wipe it out. But if people want to really understand the history of West Fresno, they can go to those old photographs that were in our cafeteria. I know you remember these, Brother Tony, and everybody else who attended Edison. You know, you can see the changes just looking at those photographs from, say, the 40s. All the way up until today. And you can see where black folks stepped in and started attending the school and all the changes that were made. But Edison is known statewide, nationally, and internationally as a black school, and we're proud of our black and gold. You know,
yes, we are.
We put Edison on the map.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. And that year we went, you know, here's the thing. Edison, no other high school in Fresno can lay claim to this. We set records in the West Coast Relays, the Junior
yep.
West Coast Relays. We went
yep.
undefeated in football. No other high school can holler that. When we brought the heat, we brought the heat on the basketball court, on the football field, baseball diamonds. We have had young men and women go into professional sports, change history academically, but yet let them tell it. We're a school that really didn't do anything, but yet every time you turned around, somebody from that school was changing history somewhere in this nation.
I seem to remember Coach Bill Stewart, after all his success at Edison, wound up coaching at what, Fresno State?
Fresno State.
They made a big
move to come get him. That's when Coach Clark took over for him.
Exactly. And that helped change the fortune of Fresno State football, because when I was going to Fresno State, there was this big thing about them building a football stadium and all that. Well, they had to get talent to coach in that stadium, and Bill Stewart was part of that talent.
You know
so
what?
We have a lot
and
to, we have
you're
a lot
right.
To be proud
and the
of
year the year that he left us and went to Fresno State, their defense went from toilet paper to a steel curtain. When Coach Bill Stewart took over that defense, they started making a name for themselves.
See. But people don't want to talk
because
about that, my brothers.
No, they don't. They don't. And all look here. All those young men from Edison who left here with the USC, with the Oregon, went to different top schools in the nation, and many of them ended up playing professional sports.
Like
Charles Young to football.
Yes, indeed.
But yet, West Fresno was always under attack. Now, for example, city council meeting this morning, gentleman by the name of Paul Garcia stood up and told the council uh-huh. members that he would like the city do more than just rename a street for Chavez. He wants the city to put a place, a plaque, at what was once 1405 East California Avenue, because Cesar Chavez founded the National Farm Workers Association at that address. Now, at the time, what was it? The Edison Social Club. And no, it doesn't exist there anymore. But, again, if he sat there and formed the farm workers there, why are you trying to wipe out California Avenue?
Exactly.
That right there tells you that's a historic place.
Exactly. It should be maintained just the way that it is on California Avenue. So we're going to have to decide in this city of Fresno what is important. And I am asking people that if they care about West Fresno, to mobilize, you know, and I'm going to put this out here, and please don't kill me, Reverend Harris, if you are listening. You know, contact Reverend Harris and see about us mobilizing into something that is going to do something about some things, because Tuesday show, I was asking, where is the NAACP local chapter? Where is BAPAC? Where is the West Fresno Ministerial Alliance? Where are all these groups that need to be protesting this? And I'm even going to go all the way down. I didn't say this Tuesday, but the Black Student Union at Edison High School, if any of y'all are listening, you need to be involved in this too, because this is going to be your fight. from now on about maintaining what's important in your community. So
whether you realize it or not.
Hey. You know, contact Reverend Harris and let's all talk about what we're going to do about maintaining our community, our legacy, and our history, because something is going to have to happen. You know,
exactly.
We're going to have to draw a line in the sand on this, y'all. Going to have to do it.
And once again, people, our calling number is 563-999-3043. And I also want to give a shout-out to my brothers in the Brown Berets who have stood with us on many a day. My boy Ralphie and company have always been there.
Yes,
so
he has.
Let me just put it out there. For those who may be sitting back saying, boy, they talking bad about Hispanic people. No, we're not. Again, we're talking about the process, not the man.
The process.
But I am going to be honest.
Latino brothers and sisters.
I am going to be honest and call it what it is. See, I'm going to be honest and call it what it is. Because we have some folks sitting on the city council now who have decided to have their Viva La Raza moment and call themselves trying to wipe out our heritage.
Exactly.
And I'm going to tell you now, from my aspect, that's not cool. That don't work like that.
Nope. Nope. Not at all. Not at all. So, you know, we might have some work to do in our communities, but believe me, the politicians who are trying to make some political bank off of this have to understand that they are not going to be able to undo this damage if this goes forward. And a lot of people have very long memories politically when it comes to things like this. You know, and I just want to put this out there and have our Latino and our Black brothers and sisters think about this. We need, Black and Brown communities need to be working together against a common enemy. You know, why do we need to scrap and fight over the white man's leftovers? Why do we need to do that? Why can't we work together and build something that's going to benefit both communities instead of this power struggle where you're trying to wipe us out because you figure that you can? If it
exactly.
wasn't for trailblazing Black politicians on city council, none of y'all would be there now because Fresno wasn't ready to see people of color in power. So, you know, those Black trailblazers on city council helped make a way for y'all. I'm just going to be clear about that. And people might not want to believe it, but it's true.
That is very true because, you know, like you were saying about the photographs at our old high school, Edison, as you watched over the years, you watched those photographs change from Armenian and Italian folks to Armenians and Mexicans, and then you start getting Black folks in. Then you start getting Black folks and Mexicans because now the white folks then moved out off of the west side and they moved on and moved north and out further. And as you know, in the time that we were there, you had majority Black school, but we still had our Hispanic brothers and sisters there with us.
We had
white folks that went to school with us. I will never forget a young dude by the name of Colin, who, when I was in the drama club, he was going to Bullard. And at that time, our drama teacher, Cheryl, had left because she had gotten a role on The Guiding Light. And Mrs. Agrava took over, Mrs. Cheryl Vermillion, and Mrs. Agrava took over for her. Mrs. Agrava had us doing a thing with Bullard, and This white boy Colin was going to Bullard, but when he started doing the drama stuff with us, the next thing you know, I seen him at Edison one day, and I go, so, hey, you came over to visit. He said, no, I go to school here now. And I was like, wait a minute. You left Bullard to come over here? He say, I left Bullard to come over here because I'm real impressed with what you guys do in drama. And if you can do that in drama, he say, the school must be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that time, you know, we had Rick Clark was there. Mary Berge and her sister Liz was there. We had our own group.
Mm-hmm.
But he saw enough just in our drama section. At that time, it was me, Melba Jackson, Jimmy Ricks, Richard Burks, Brian Bradley, you know, the crew. And that made him want to come to Edison.
And
the dude came in and he rolled over there. He got to Edison and fit in like, hey, he was a Trekkie, his own little crew. But, of course, you know, at Edison, everybody was welcome.
See, I know.
And he said he had never felt like that when he was at Bullard. He said at Bullard he felt like an outcast.
Well, and that is the perception that people think that, you know, we had knife fights every day at Edison, and you know, people were carrying guns, and there was gangs and all that. You know, we had one gang member at Edison during the time that we were there, and we thought he was a big ass joke. You know,
if you really wanted to call him that, because that's exactly what it was, a joke.
Exactly. So Edison has always had to fight against the misperceptions about it. And you can talk to Rick Clark today, who's a teacher like his dad, and ask him about, you know, life at Edison and things like that. But this is the continuing fight. It's nobody trying to be good enough for white folks. Black excellence speaks for itself. And Edison had that, you know, across the board. You know, it's infuriating to me that we even have to be talking about this when it's obvious that Edison and the things that exist on California Avenue, you know, we've got a library that sits there. We have a lot of things that cannot be replaced and cannot be wiped out and shouldn't have to be. We shouldn't have to fight this fight. But if we have to fight it, you know, we're going to be talking about this for a long time. None of us, the three of us that are on here right now, we're not going anywhere. You know, we're not going anywhere. We are going to be talking about this. And hopefully, you know, our community and the rest of the city is going to listen.
Exactly. You know, also today at that city council meeting, now I was watching it also, and, you know, they had to take a break. And in the evening session, they came back, and I guess they had some more people speak. But you know, Luis Chavez, whose district includes that portion of Kings Canyon that will be renamed, he told the Fresno Bee that, you know, he understands the concerns of those who oppose this move. But he also added that, you know, he don't believe that he and his city council colleagues are likely to vote to reverse the action after this process that began more than a year ago, you know, because, you know, parliamentary procedure, it requires one of the six council members who voted in favor of the change to ask for the body to formally reconsider the issue. And this evening, Arias, Carbassi, that's who I was trying to remember, Carbassi, and Perea were absent after the council returned from closed session and heard, another hour of public comment. And Tyler Maxwell, who is the president, he closed the meeting out at 6:05 because he didn't allow any more speakers because apparently there were, you know, more people who wanted to speak on what was going on, whether they were for or against.
Right. Wow.
Like I said, you know, in Tuesday's show, you have streets that run north and south that go through big-time Hispanic neighborhoods. established Mexican neighborhoods. Why did you not take one of those streets and turn it into Cesar Chavez?
Exactly.
See, again, this was about trying to rub the black residents' noses into what you were doing. City Council feel like they have the numbers, and they can just bogart their way to doing whatever they want. And I don't care what nobody say. They also feel like that's payback for what they thought Robert Smith did. He voted for it, then he turned against us and voted, you know, asked for his vote to be rescinded. So, again, I see it as payback.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. That's what it looks like. So, but you know what? This is not something that any of us who have been watching how politics work in Fresno, none of us are surprised by this, but I'm really hoping that this is going to mobilize West Fresno. It's like what Harris said before. If this doesn't bring people together, you know,
yeah, you're right about that, Sister Reed. And you made mention earlier.
I'm sorry, you broke up the video, brother. I couldn't hear you.
You made a statement about a bottling company called Reyes early today?
Yes. Reyes Coca-Cola Bottling Company is going to build a plant in West Fresno in Miguel Arias' district. And,
in Miguel Arias district, okay.
District 3. And supposedly they have made a deal with homeowners in that area about noise and sound pollution. Now, the thing that is interesting is that City of Fresno was supposed to be halting industrial-type businesses in Southwest Fresno, and apparently this is not happening. They have reversed their position on that. And see, this is one of the reasons why the California Attorney General Ron Bonta is bringing charges and is going to sue the City of Fresno about this. So they've gone back on their word. So this is just one. This thing about street naming is just one of the things that's going on in Southwest Fresno, West Fresno, that's wrong. But, yeah, Reyes
exactly.
Bottling Company is supposed to be putting a plant in West Fresno.
Okay, Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, Reyes.
Yes.
What does that tell you?
Yes.
And it's in Miguel Arias District,
another
Hispanic company.
Yep.
So Don't tell me that you're not having your Viva La Raza moments, that you're not letting it be known. We have the numbers. We are running the city council now. So, therefore, this is how it's going to go. It's going to be this is how they're looking at it. It's our time to shine. But remember, you're not going to be in those positions forever.
This is true. And, you know, we're talking about this. We're talking about bringing business because there's already an Amazon warehouse that's going to be built not too far from this Reyes Bottling Company. So my thing is this. So how many black folks are you going to hire at these locations? There shouldn't be anything going on built, revamped, revised, or whatever in West Fresno, in Southwest Fresno, that does not include black people. And I want to
tell you now, they're not going to hire many black folks. I already know what the majority of folks getting hired already know who they're going to be. They will be Hispanic. I can tell you that now. Why?
Yeah, see, that's a fight we need to have over here.
That is definitely fight we need to have.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying that that's the fight that we need to have.
That's true. That's a true statement, because if you're going to come in and displace us, you're going to come in and just run over us, you're going to come in and just act like our heritage means absolutely nothing to you, but like Brother Lockhart said, it is time for us to meet them on solid ground. It's time to stand toe-to-toe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we used to say back in the old school days, you know, you better pack a lunch because you're going to be here for a while. If you're going to bring it, I'm bringing mine. Let's do this.
Well, and that's true, because you got to bring ass to kick ass. You can't have to
Exactly.
That's true.
But for some reason, you know, this particular group of city council members, they don't respect the black community, and they feel like they can just run roughshod over us and do what they want when they want. And this thing of, well, yeah, we had an open forum. No, you did not. You didn't speak to anybody.
Uh-huh.
You didn't put anything out there saying when you're going to speak to anybody.
Even if they had an open forum, they were still going to do what they were going to do. And this is why people get frustrated and they don't want to attend meetings, because Lord knows I have spent the last several years of my life going to meetings, stating my case, stating how I felt about things. And there were many other people at these meetings who felt the same way, like with the Southwest Pacific plan about bringing in a more industrial business. And they don't listen. They'll say, well, you know what, legally we had a public forum, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but they still, Fresno has always been a city of backdoor deals.
Well,
and
yeah, that's the curtain they have behind.
Yes, and the developers have been running Fresno for a long time. So if nothing is going to happen to improve this, this is why neighborhoods die, get gentrified and die out. And West Fresno, we are fighting for our life here. So listeners, if you care about West Fresno, if you want to make a difference, you know, there's still things that can be done. If nothing else, our voices can still be heard, just like, we're putting this show on tonight. So take heart. You know, we're going to go out swinging. I'll put it to you that way. If we got to
exactly.
go, we're going to go swinging.
You are absolutely correct, my sister. And, it's sad and disheartening that, you know, I was not only watching on TV, but I was also watching it on Zoom. And on Zoom, you know, you have a little icon that if you want to speak, you know, you click it, raise your hand. And I did exactly that. And, of course, I definitely was ignored. I was definitely ignored. And I'm quite sure I was ignored for a reason. I'm quite sure after I got that phone call I got and the couple of emails that I got, I'm quite sure my name made the rounds.
I wouldn't doubt that. You've been running around with the wrong people.
But, along with my co-host and my Tiger for Life friend, Sister Eileen Reed and Brother Lockhart, we're going to keep fighting a good fight. That's all we know how to do. That's all we know how to do. And anybody who knows me knows that I've been doing this since high school. I used to leave Fresno on the weekends to go up to the Bay Area to go to certain protests at the University of Berkeley and over in San Francisco and downtown Oakland. I had an FBI file, but having an FBI file wasn't even cool. For the main fact that I participated in certain protests. And it was like, wait a minute, who's that kid? Of course, you know, we stand out. You're standing there and back and go, somebody going to spot you.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, yes, Sister Reed, once again, we have stepped into the fray and did what we do. And like I always tell you, I appreciate you taking this ride. And I really do, because it ain't easy.
Except talking about who's important for our people. So I'm happy to be along for the ride, and thank you for asking.
So with that, Brother Lockhart, we definitely appreciate you, and thank you for hanging with us tonight, my brother. So with that, we're going to close out. Sister Reed, take us home.
All right.
Look, can I say, real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead, Brother Lockhart.
Look, I'm a firm believer that our greatest the greatest fight that we should ever fight is to just stand back, put our money in our own pockets.
Yes, sir.
Never spend another dime, because who can respect you if you talk crap about them, but you spend all your money with them?
Come on.
You're right. You're right.
You go to work. We still allow them to tax income, and I don't believe there's a real rule or regulation that actually justifies it. But they do it, and we file for it. Some of the things that really bug me about what our people are going through is how many of our people went crazy talking about Donald Trump
and his taxes
as opposed to trying to figure out, well, if this is legal, why shouldn't I do the same thing and keep all of my money as well?
Exactly. Hey, y'all, let me pull this call in right quick.
Let me pull this call in right quick. All righty.
Caller, you're on the air with West Side Visions. Who are we speaking with?
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Harris. How are you all doing tonight?
Dr. Pastor Floyd Harris, welcome to the fray.
All of my comrades here, revolutionaries, here on the phone tonight. Thank God for all of y'all. Freedom fighters, power to the people. Whose street cars,
people
united, will never be divided.
Will never be divided.
That's right.
Power to the people. I it's my understanding that the vote went through. Is that correct?
That is correct. This is why they did not have a second vote, because Mayor Dyer decided he wasn't going to veto what was done.
So,
his
vote stood.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to take a lot of y'all time tonight. I've been up since 4, and I want to take some time in to call and just really give some encouraging words to our community, our black folk here in Mississippi, Fresno. Many years, you all know, you all support, and being a teacher to me on the front lines, is that we're looked upon as political guinea pigs here in this city, and I'm just going to talk very straight and direct right now, because this is old stuff that's going on right now, how we're being treated in our community. But hopefully that this situation here will bring us together as a people. And I hear you say this a lot, and even Malcolm X said it a lot, is that we have to control the politics of our community. We have to control what goes on each and every day in our community. And if we don't do that, then people will do what they did today. Now, I just got off the phone with another colleague, and what I told him was, that, you know, he said, well, you know, I just didn't understand why. He understands now because he had opportunity to watch our black folks speak at city council today. And thank those who went today. Thank you for standing up for us. Thank you for standing up for the ancestors. Thank you for standing up for Miser Keels, Deacon Foster. Thank you for standing up for Les Kimber and all of those, even Aline's mother, my grandmother, who may they rest in peace, fought in this community in West Fresno with blood, sweat, and tears. We thank those who went today to speak at the dike for what we believe in. And I told the colleague, I said, you know, what I find very interesting? He said, what's that, Reverend Harris? I said, my grandma moved out here in 1950 from Arkansas, Dumas, Arkansas. And we moved in Walnut Gardens. Y'all know where that is, over by Hunts used to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Darlin Enterprise sat right over there by Hyde Park. Y'all know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Hyde Park was a dump. A dump means you come in and unload your truck and all that in the city to show you how much respect that they had for black people during that time because it was highly populated African-American people during that time. They went and took some dirt and covered the whole dump and planted some trees on it and told our kids to go play on it and call it a park. Then you have right across the street a packing house that's been cooking dead animals since 1950, still operating today. Then there's about 5,000 batteries buried behind Hyde Park, because that's why that fence is there. So it's contaminated. I said, but what I find very interesting is how we done had all these mayors that come through this city and ain't shut down Darlin Enterprise. I said, I find it interesting that a city council can vote for a name change on a street. And I said, and I'm not knocking Caesar because he's done a lot of great work, but it's the process of how it went down. I said, but what I find very interesting is you can vote to put up a sign, but you can't vote to shut down a place that's cooking dead animals, that's killing black people each and every day and brown people each and every day.
See,
we need to wake the hell up and understand what's really going on in Mississippi, Fresno. 45 years we've been in the trenches as advocating it, as freedom fighters, being a real voice for our community, speaking truth to power. This is what we've been dealing with. See, the chickens is coming home to roost now.
See.
Them people down at City Hall don't care nothing about black people. Nothing. Because your own council member don't care nothing about you. Because had he did, he would have said, you know what, look, y'all, let's not fight. Let's come in one room and have a conversation. Let's talk. See, you don't have those type of politicians today. You don't have those type of politicians that's about unity and peace. You have these vultures out here just worrying about their political careers and how they can step on, oh, they want to use black people or the minority. I don't even like that word. We always been the majority in this country. But they want to fool you to think you a minority, you less than. No, we're not less. We're the powerful people. But when you get educated by their education system, you then start thinking you a minority. So if this situation here that happened should spark a fire for us to come together as a people, and put our differences aside and say, you know what? This is about our future children. Because everybody else, every nationality in Fresno is looking at their own. So when are we going to start looking after our own?
Exactly.
When are we going to start? And
well,
it should have started
Rev,
today.
I was asking people, I was saying the same thing that you just said earlier, and I was asking people, asking our listeners to please contact you if they want to try to form a new movement behind this, because, you know, you are a leader. You are a person that people listen to. And perhaps, so don't be surprised if you get some phone calls after this show and after this shout out, because we need some unity. We need to be practicing those Kwanzaa principles like they do, like you all are doing at FAME. And we need to be ready so we don't have to get ready. Because if we had been ready, we could have nipped all this in the bud and fought this at a greater time. So I'm going to go down swinging on this one. Until they actually put the street signs up, I figure the deal is not completely done. But that's just me. And I know I'm probably being foolish, but, you know, this needs to be a fight that we're willing to get into and fight about.
Yeah, yeah. And don't be surprised if you find out that you're fighting against yourself, in essence, because they've already paid enough, enough of our counterparts to either be silent or stand up against us. Either way it goes, they're against us.
Well, you're absolutely correct with that. I know one for sure, because if he could stand up and holler that he didn't want folks to go out and please don't ride out there in River Park. Don't go out there. Why would we go to River Park? River Park don't do nothing for the West Side. But yet, here your tap dancer behind go asking black folks not to go out there and do that at River Park. Why? Because you getting your pockets full and you getting the city to come in and do things at your church. But hey, you know, some of us don't mind selling our souls. Then there are folks like me who ain't gonna sell out, who don't care about y'all down there at City Hall. Only thing I want is what's to be right. But we know now.
Exactly.
I've always been a writer.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Please continue whatever it is that you want to share with us.
Oh, yeah. Definitely go back to what you were talking about there, Pastor Harris.
Well, you know, the thing is that, and you all are correct in what you're saying, and those of us who are on the front line and speak truth to power, we have to understand that we're dealing with a ministry right now that don't understand. You know, some of them are lost. You know, some of them are getting pocket money and change from City Hall and from council members for the little organizations and stuff like that. And I'm not beating up on them. It's just that when people, as I told one of the colleagues tonight, he said, Ike Miguel Arias, this was in his district, that he should have called the people together and sit down in one room and have a conversation about this issue. I said, yeah. I said, that would happen if you respect black people, but it's not going to happen if you don't respect black people. And that's the thing that we have to understand today, is that it's not about being liked. Stop thinking about being liked. It's about being respected. Because being respected is a little farther than being liked. So we got to do something as a people. You know, even if it's 2, 3, 4 of us, 5, 6 of us, 7, 8, 9, 10 of us, but however many it is, you got to know that those 5 people or however many people is going to fight to the end, to the last breath. And we in this community, we have to find those people. We have to find those people and understand all money is not good money.
Hello.
Exactly.
You have to finance your own liberation. You have to finance your own truth. You have to finance your own everything that you do.
That's right.
Because if you're going to go to City Hall and ask for some money, you cannot eat from the oppressor table and hold the oppressor accountable. It don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. we right now in West Fresno, what do we really have? What do we have? What do we really have?
Well, we don't have to do right now. According to what I see when I ride through the neighborhood, we don't even have a majority population anymore, nowhere near.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the see until, and I heard Sister Eileen speaking about this earlier, about the redlining, until those things are addressed and no one pretends that, oh, just because we're aware of it now, we can change it overnight, until they're addressed to the extent where there's some kind of a vision to undo all the unjust that was done by appeasing to the requests and even and especially the demands of the people who have been victimized, we'll never get anywhere, because to try and put a Band-Aid over 50, 60 years of distorted efforts to keep one down, and then talk this bootstrap stuff for people who can't even buy a pair of decent boots.
Come on.
Then we're not doing anything other than complaining and not looking towards a real change. Because if we're constantly asking for change, for to make a change, well, until you bankrupt any oppressor, you're not making a change. And if he can put a piece of glitter before you and pull every ounce of interest around you into his or her circumference, then they feel they've won. The only problem that they have is if anyone respects you for still remaining true to yourself. That's one thing they'll kill you for.
Oh, yeah. That is a true statement.
Yeah, we got work to do, West Fresno. And those of you who live in other parts of the city, if your skin is black, you got work to do to help everybody come together to be a unified front. We got work to do.
You know, well, like Pastor said,
go ahead and close that. You know, we at Free AME, you know, we're there 7 days a week, you know, on our grind and really, you know, we are bring resources to our community and people, jobs. You know, we've been able to, within Free AME, you know, create jobs and things like that to get people paid. And we're just being creative. And, you know, we have to figure out what we want for our community. We have to burn the midnight oil. I mean, we can talk about problems day and night, which we have to. We have to come with solutions, and we have to come with a black agenda for our black people. And everybody's black is not going to stand with you, and you just have to know that. And it's okay for them not to stand with us. Just know who they are. Don't let them in the war room. Don't let them in the room that where the great minds are thinking about how to organize and strategize. You know, we have to start grooming people for political office. You know, I don't know who that is right now, but I do know the Latinos. I know the Asians, the Hmongs, they're grooming their young people right now to run for political office in this city. And we have to do the same here, because if not,
you're right,
we're going to be eliminated. We're going to be eliminated, and they're not going to care one iota about our complaints, our concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go ahead and hear there, Brother Tony. Thank you for, and Sister Eileen, y'all have me on the phone here, Brother Tony.
Hey, right. Always glad to hear from the pastor, because you got me. Do that. Like you always say, if we don't stand together, it is time to stop falling.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sister Eileen Reed just said, this is a long fight, and it's time for us to get out there and do what we do and do best.
Yes.
Brother Lockhart, you got anything else you need to say tonight?
Yes, yes. Blessings to all my people. And I pray that the Legion is wide awake, because we need every mystery that's ever stood for anything remotely conducive with the well-being of our people to be in the numbers. And may the Most High see us through.
Amen. Yeah. Pastor, give us your word.
Still with us? You might not still be with us.
Pastor Harris, you still with us? Sister Reed, take us home.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all know what I'm going to say. And I mean this in the most sincere terms. Please, please, please stay black. Stay black until we get back with you.
Uh-huh. Yes.
As always, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you who are proficient with your arms, take your folks to the range. Get them squared away. Get them straight. Get them registered. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. As you've heard us speak tonight, and talk about the battles that are going on in our section of this city, it is time to come together, my people. It is time to stand together. It is time for us to fight back. Stop being afraid and stop hiding in the bushes. Come out and be visible. Come stand with us. Until next time, I'll holler.
Amen. Good night.